Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels of the Dills. Indeed, second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great sales department. They work with you. They want to save you money. And a fabulous service department. All at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ryan Snyder from on3.com and Bluewood Illustrated in a moment. But first, our play-by-play call of the day, Kevin Durant.
Indiana's 4-5 from long range. Durant's got 11. Crank goes down. Durant has got a highlight. Had the foul to give.
Ankle breaker. Oh, Kevin Durant is one bad, bad man. That was cold.
Indeed. Ian Eagle with the call on Yes Network, a Kevin Durant, our play-by-play call of the day. Time now to be joined by Ryan Snyder and talk recruiting from on3.com. Welcome, sir. It's great to have you with us.
On three, man. That's the first time I've heard someone introduce me like that. It's pretty cool. This has been in the works for it feels like a year now. So this is everything for us, man. This is if you guys have followed Blue White Illustrated, we've made some crazy changes over the last 5-6 months, and it was all about yesterday's move to On Three. So encourage fans to check it out. It's a $1 subscription right now. The reaction we've got has been incredible. Hey, let's talk some recruiting. Let's fill fans in on what it's all about.
Yeah, let's get to that, because after the Georgia Florida game, Kirby Smart was asked about recruiting, and when he talked about it, he talked about how all encompassing there is. And Smart said, quote, "There's no coach out there that can out-coach recruiting. I don't care who you are. The best coach to ever play the game better be a good recruiter." And, of course, a lot of Florida fans took umbrage to that. And he talked about how they make a lot of sacrifices family-wise because they're always on the road. You have a lot of experience in this area, Ryan. So is that your experience? What he said?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm looking at our own three team rankings right now. Okay? Here are your top five teams. Alabama number one, Georgia number two, Ohio State number three, Clemson number four, Oklahoma number five, and then the Nittany Lions are number six. So anybody who pays attention to college football will tell you that those top five teams have been pretty much the five dominating the sport for at least the playoff era, and for Alabama and Ohio State a little longer than that. So I think that kind of speaks to itself right there on just how important recruiting is. There are coaches out there who move up and through the ladder because they are excellent coaches, right? You know, we see mid-major coaches, the MAC coaches move up eventually and they prove themselves because they have success at that level and they get to where they go. I mean, James Franklin, for example, has climbed the ladder as much or better as anyone out there. But when you get to the very top of this ladder, it's all about the players, right? I mean, there's a reason that there are five-star players and four-star players, and there's a reason those guys stand out. So while coaching can often be the difference between, you know, sometimes maybe, you know, I don't want to say advancing to the playoffs, because I think players get you to the playoffs. Maybe coaching is kind of how you win sometimes when you're competing at that level and everybody's, you know, just incredibly talented as it is. It's really the players that put you in that position in the first place. So I would absolutely agree with that. You know, I'm a recruiting guru through and through. Anyone who's followed me for a decade kind of knows that by now. But yeah, man, and this is what it's all about, right? You have those talented players, those elite quarterbacks, those defensive tackles, you know, who make a difference. And just, you know, you can go through every position, but you know, the couple key positions where it really stands out. And that's why those teams are dominating, and that's why they have been dominating for a long time. Penn State is right there, I feel like, on the bubble. Man, they sometimes it felt like they're going to get over it. Sometimes it feels like they're dropping a little bit below. But to me, they're right there on the line. They've been on that line for a long time. And personally, that's why I think you need James Franklin here for a long time, because he's right there. And
right,
with that playoff about to expand, to me, you don't want to do anything to disrupt that.
Exactly, because what spurred the question to Kirby Smart was the answer that Dan Mullen gave.
Mm-hmm.
We're in season right now, Mullen said. We'll do recruiting after the season, and if it gets to recruiting time, we could talk about recruiting. He didn't want to answer the question. And what Kirby Smart said is that, look, we have to make sacrifices all the time with our families to do this, but we have to do this all year. And then essentially, James does that. He is out there by weeks when he could be, you know, I mean, his family has made sacrifices to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. James Franklin has, I don't even want to call it, it's not a day off. James Franklin has one semi-night off on Thursdays when he gets a couple hours with his family.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that night is usually when he does a ton of Zoom calls with top recruits as
That's
well.
Right.
And he does it from home. So, yeah, there's no denying the commitment that it takes. Just before Friday night, for example, a big away game. You know, he's out at watch Caden Saunders' game. He's on the road every Friday, out there trying to recruit and get his program better. And you know that's all you can ever ask for. As far as Mullen, there's a reason why he didn't want to answer the question, because he knew where it was going. And
right.
You know, all these coaches, they know how to talk. Florida's having one of its worst classes in a while. It's still ranked 17th in the country right now, but they have a couple guys decommitting recently. They've missed out on a bunch of top prospects they were expected to get. So that's why he said that. I think in retrospect he would have worded it better, because it came off poorly to the fan base. But the reason he went around that question was simply because he knew where it was leading, and
right.
It was leading to people calling him out for having a poor recruiting class. So, hey, man, one man's mistake is another man's gain, I guess, with Kirby and Mullen there. And Kirby's coming out on top again, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so for Penn State, as you go through the season, they already have a lot of verbals in this particular class. Everybody holding solid?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, there's a handful of guys down south I could sit here and BS, but it's more so they just don't talk, so it makes it hard to get a read on. You know, so I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, you know, I talk to every single one of these guys all the time, and all I hear is positive things, because there are a few, you know, like Cam Miller, for example, in Florida. I don't know if he's ever done an interview with any of us from Penn State. Andre Roy, now he's from Baltimore. He's not one of the Southern guys, but you know, he's another guy who just doesn't talk. So there are a handful of guys who just don't open up, and that's fine. You know, not everybody is into doing interviews and having people bug them all the time, and I have no issue with that, of course. But I will say that the majority of this class, right, the core of this class, the Bo Pribulas, the Drew Allars, the Caden Saunders, the Nick Singletons, and those are the guys that, you know, obviously I have a good relationship with, and you know, so do some of my colleagues who cover it. And we are in touch, I would say, maybe twice a week or so. And there's no reason to think right now that any rumors or something like that would disrupt this class, especially not losses either. Now, I would be lying, I guess I'd say, if people aren't curious to see what would happen with James long-term and that how that situation plays out. You know, I've talked to parents about it, and usually they're just asking me if I know something that they don't, which is silly because they have access to James much more than I do, at least. But there's nothing right now that makes me think we're going to start seeing a guy or two leave in the near future. Jordan Allen, of course, he decommitted recently, and that was nothing to do with Franklin. It was really because he wanted to take more visits and didn't really tell the staff about it.
Right. His was a communication issue. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, and I will say that Jordan was kind of given a second opportunity, too, to not take that visit, and then he kind of, from what I understand, kind of told the staff he wasn't going to, and then did it anyway. And, you know, when you make one mistake and then you're given a chance to not do it and then you just decide to do it anyway, that's kind of where Penn State said, okay, we can move on here. But the core of this class, though, is as firm as I think any Penn State fan could ask for with all the talk of Franklin and whatnot. And that's because they're incredible young men. I mean, Penn State goes after guys who, like I say all the time, man, a lot of them are more mature than me, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
All right. Now, what are in your opinion, the prime targets to finish?
Mm-hmm. So with the Jordan Allen scholarship opening up, I've had a lot of people ask me about that. And the best thing I can say right now is that it really doesn't change much as far as adding to the current class. And a big reason why, of course, is the transfer portal. I think as the season goes along, and this isn't really a Penn State thing. This is for every school. You start to find holes, right? You get 4 or 5 games in, 6, 7 games in, you start to find holes that you think could maybe be plugged better with a transfer. And that's kind of the vibe I get right now in regards to how they would use that Jordan Allen scholarship. So right now I kind of feel like we're still sitting in a spot where Penn State would like to add one, maybe two more guys max. Linebacker Jayshon Barham out of St. Francis. Anyone who follows recruiting should know Jayshon's name pretty well by now. We talk about him all the time. He remains that guy to really focus on. We were watching for maybe a commitment in late October, and nothing came out of that, which wasn't a surprise. That was more so rumors, I guess, than Jayshon really saying that. But South Carolina, Florida, they kind of seem like the schools there. Or Maryland, too, of course. I would actually say Maryland's probably Penn State's top competitor there. And he's just another guy who's incredibly quiet, so I can sit here and pretend I really know what he's thinking. But that wouldn't be completely true because he doesn't open up a ton. So we're relying kind of secondhand on coaches and you know, Penn State sources on that one. And from the vibe we get, it's that Maryland and Penn State are the top three schools. So I think he is, you know, target numero uno. And if they get him, they could be very well be done with the class. Now, there are other guys. Larry Turner Gooden's a top prospect out of California who took an official visit. O-lineman Emil Wagner out of Ohio is getting closer to a decision. He's about to announce, I believe, in a week or two, although his brother is a graduate assistant now at Kentucky, and there's some ties there, which makes me think that's where he's going to end up. So there are going to be other guys who emerge. I'm sure somebody will pop up late in the cycle, maybe even after the signing period. But this class is pretty much done, and it's a great class. Like I said, it's number 6 in the country according to our On3 rankings, and that's giving the staff an opportunity to focus on 2023, which is always important.
Right, which was going to be my next question anyway, so you anticipated it well. because they have I really feel like they've laid an incredible foundation on 23. Is that the way your feeling is too?
Absolutely, yeah, and they have to because the region as a whole for 2023 is down. So don't get me wrong, there's plenty of talent for a school like Penn State to have a lot of success in the Mid-Atlantic region. And they will. They always do. That I have no doubts about that. But the wide net that you have to throw this year is a lot more down south and even in the Midwest, even a couple guys out west, like Jaden Rashad, who's a top quarterback prospect we're watching. But, you know, whenever you have Alex Birchmeyer, Matthias Barnwell, Joey Schlaffler, and Lamont Payne, all four of whom are 4-star guys by at least one or two of these sites, and you know, most of them I think will be 4-stars pretty much everywhere by the time it's all said and done. That's an excellent start. I mean, we haven't even signed the 2022 class yet, and you have you know, 4 4-star players lined up. But one guy I will mention here is Josh Miller. He's a top offensive line prospect who we were watching potentially for a commitment today. He ended up putting out a top 5 just a little bit ago, and the vibe I get there is that this is Penn State's to lose.
I thought he was going to commit today. I talked about that on our podcast a little bit. And up until pretty much Saturday night, Sunday morning, Monday morning, that was the plan. He decided to hold off, which is fine. You know, he has about 13 months or so to go. So probably he made the right decision. But this is absolutely trending towards Penn State. Penn State and Clemson have been the top schools for a while now. I believe he included Virginia Tech, Tennessee, and one other school in there. I forget who. Oh, North Carolina. But this is Penn State and Clemson at the top with everybody else in the mix. And I wouldn't be completely surprised if he has a decision here sooner than later.
Okay, Michigan will be coming up in a week, and that means, of course, visits. Are you getting an initial read on what the visit list could be for a game like that?
Well, we need a kickoff time. That would help a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm serious. It's not the Manhattan Project. Pick one. Move. I mean, my goodness. You know, come on.
I have a few friends in the industry, and I'll say this. We know Disney has the right to – Well, I'm not saying we know Disney has the first two picks.
They get the first two picks of the weekend.
Yeah, so it'll end up being basically what they're deciding between is do they want to put Ohio State and Purdue at 3:30 or do they want to put Penn State and Michigan at 3:30? Or you know, that they're kind of deciding between those two games and which order they want to put them. So we will find out Sunday, I guess. And unfortunately, it does have a major impact on Penn State's ability to put this list together ahead of time. Now, they have probably, 20, 30 guys lined up who will be here. And I would expect it to be many of the same guys we've been talking about for a long time now. Wow. You know, the Rodney Gallaghers, a lot of the committed guys. You know, just think of the top prospects within the region. They will mostly all be here. The issue, of course, with kickoff times is then trying to get somebody like a Grant Tucker or a Christian Hamilton who are down in North Carolina to make a long-distance trip for this. Especially if it's a noon kick, and for a noon kick, of course, they want guys here at 10 a.m. or so they can see the team arrival and all the good stuff that comes with that. So that's the big issue right now. I know some people in Lash were really hoping for a kickoff time so they could really chip away at that list. But yeah. I will say this, for Auburn, we saw 50 uncommitted players here, which was an incredible list, something I've really never seen before. Right. And when you add in a pandemic and 2+ years of not being able to show kids the whiteout, it all makes sense, right? That was always going to be a huge list. Indiana was around 20 uncommitted players, which was another great list, another night game, stripe out, all that stuff. I would expect, especially if this game is a 3:30 kick, I would expect, 20, maybe even up to like 30 or so uncommitted players, which would be an excellent list. I'm telling you right now, Rutgers, Maryland, a lot of schools in the surrounding area would die to have a list like that for a 3:30 kickoff. So that's kind of where we're aiming right now. But it's just so hard to put a list together right now when you also add in playoff games and so many guys don't know if they'll be playing next Friday night and all the issues that go on with that. So we see that every November with delayed kickoff times and playoff games. So lots up in the air, but it'll be, like I said, if 20 uncommitted guys aren't there, I'd be shocked.
One final question. We know about the quarterbacks. We know about the running backs. We also know that these are all verbals. So how much are other programs attempting to crowbar some people away?
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Florida earlier. They are chipping away at Cam Miller. He's the cornerback prospect from down in Jacksonville there. We'll see what comes with that. I've been trying to monitor it. Like I said, Cam's not one to talk too much. But when it comes to Drew Allar, Nick Singleton, Caden Saunders, those really important guys up there at the top, that Penn State is holding firm and really most schools have just said, okay, we understand, that you guys have been committed for a long time now and, just bugging a player, especially when they're into their senior years and they've been through this for 2+ years, it's not really going to help you all that much. So for the most part, I don't see much there. Of course, everybody likes to talk about Ohio State and Drew Allar, and I'll say this. If Drew Allar ever had the opportunity to go visit Ohio State, it would have probably been this past weekend, and he did not take them up on that offer. So I don't see any reason for fans to really worry about other schools or losses or anything like that. It's really just all about, James Franklin being locked up and here for a long term. And, I still think that's going to be the case long term, but that's what everybody wants to know right now, and we'll find out soon enough.
Sir, it's an absolute pleasure, as always. Do great work, and great to have you on 3.com.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Steve. Let's catch up soon.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com and Blue White Illustrated to talk about recruiting. Great to have him with us. Neil Coulong in the final half hour. Penn State, Maryland coming up tomorrow, 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock from College Park. High school football tonight. Shamokin at Sealands Grove at 7 on Eagle 107. Lewisburg at Jersey Shore tonight at 7, and that is on 100.9 The Valley. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Back with the final half hour of the show in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk, where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show. Neil Coulong in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And, of course, it's a Friday brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh or not every day. And the pickle bar, led by the Verrills and the Dills, my favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. Start stocking up for the holidays. And start thinking about gift cards from Brewers Outlet for the holidays. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The goal of, you know, I only like to deal with the best, and Sunbury Motors is the best. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Maybe pre-owned inventory fits the budget. Well, pre-owned inventory, how about that? You've got plenty of that, and not only that, the Sunbury Motors guarantee to back it up. That means a lot. Fabulous sales staff that works with you and a service department to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Tonight, Eagle 107. It'll be Shamokin at Sealands Grove in the Quad A semifinals. That'll be on Eagle 107 this evening, kickoff set for 7 o'clock. On 100.9 The Valley tonight, the number 4 seed Lewisburg will be at the number 1 seed Jersey Shore. Again, that's 100.9 The Valley. Other games tonight. In the A semifinal, Montgomery will be against Muncie. That will be Saturday. That's tomorrow at 1.
Double-A quarterfinals all tomorrow. Lime Mountain at Southern Columbia. Shockingly, Southern Columbia is the number one seed. Don't know how that happened. Wellsboro at South Williamsport tomorrow at 1. Bloomsburg at Mount Carmel tomorrow at 1. And Sarah Troy tomorrow night at 7. In the Triple-A quarterfinals coming up tonight, Athens at Montoursville. That's at 7 o'clock. Also, it's going to be North Penn taking on Milton. Milton's the home team, but because of their construction at their field, it's going to be at Central Columbia tonight. And Kamineska Valley will be at Loyal Sock at 7 o'clock this evening as well in the high school football playoffs. Pro football, Steelers, Bears coming up Sunday. Neil Kulong joins us. Sir, always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to be here as always.
It's interesting because I was telling a story yesterday about when Eric Dickerson was dealt from the Rams to the Colts. And it was shockwaves because the NFL never made it. And nobody in the NFL ever made in-season trades. Now, it feels like the baseball and NBA deadlines.
Yeah, it really has become more and more of an event. And I think a good part of that is because, in part, a couple of years ago, you might recall, they opened up the trade of compensatory picks.
Yes.
And what that means is essentially because you don't, you know, they don't know the compensatory picks are there until April or whenever it is that they announce that. They're trading speculative picks. You don't know exactly what they're going to get, but you kind of know exactly what they're going to get. And they're free to trade those future commodities for current assets. And that opens up the market a bit. Certainly makes it more interesting. There are more moves that can be made, and there are situations in which you can kind of look back and see the team might have set up that kind of a situation by signing this player, which, you know, took them out of the running for this pick, but they'll know that they'll get this one back, which is what I think perhaps the Steelers did with their decision with Melvin Ingram, at least to some degree. There's some insurance there, you know, backed up with draft capital, that if it doesn't work out, with Ingram, they have the ability to, you know, trade a decent asset that really Ingram signed a 1-year contract to show people he was healthy. And on top of that, I'd imagine his market is going to be worth, I don't think it's unreasonable to say twice as much as the Steelers are paying him if he's healthy and they're in a normal cap year, which they will be. So if anything, I think it was a business decision on Ingram's part to say, you guys aren't going to sign me long-term. You got the $4 million valuation out of me through six games. The trade deadline is now. Sorry, this doesn't look very good, but trade me somewhere that I can, you know, get some more film here, try to maximize my value. If this is the direction you're going to go, Alex Highsmith, in my opinion anyway, has played very well the last couple of weeks. He's going to take the yeoman's share of the snaps from here on out. And I think the Steelers know that, which is why they kind of did Ingram a solid and dealt him for something. It doesn't seem like it's much, but you're not going to see a whole lot of players. They have to be Von Miller to acquire more than like maybe a fifth or a sixth. And sixth is probably the typical compensation for a trade for a player at the deadline. You don't see big deals at the deadline like that. That's just not the way the NFL works. But overall, I think I think Ingram is definitely more motivated to want to make a deal as opposed to the Steelers.
Right.
But Ingram looking out for his future, looking long term, he wants to be in a position to get more film to drive up his value. And this is the part where I think is really interesting with all of it. What Mike Tomlin said at his press conference today, essentially that the cloud over what are you saying is 1-year deals in the NFL are really hard because in Tomlin's situation, he wants volunteers, not hostages. If Melvin Ingram doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want Melvin Ingram there. That's really just the bottom line. And because the trade deadline comes at or around the middle of the season, that's the only time players have to try to make some type of in-season move for themselves, to set himself up for you know, later negotiations. And I think that's really what it was about with Melvin Ingram. I think his situation was very similar to DeSean Jackson in Los Angeles. All of these things kind of lead me to believe that fewer and fewer general managers are going to want to give out 1-year contracts because really this is going to continue to happen.
Right.
On the player that you would want, the player that has value, they're going to try to set themselves up. And as we've seen, it's getting easier and easier for a player to kind of negotiate his way out of town. And it really kind of the point where the one-year contract means nothing. I mean, it used to be that coaches were in lame duck status if they had 1 year left in their contract. Now it's quarterbacks and coaches. It might just be everybody now.
Yeah. All right, so Boswell, that was a great play. Boswell with the concussion. So they did sign another kicker today of the practice squad, right?
Yes, Josh Lambeau, the former Chargers and Jaguars kicker.
Yeah.
Interesting, the Steelers would want another Jaguars cast-off kicker. That didn't work out so well the last time.
Yeah.
Unless you want to concede that doing that and then having to release him because he just flat-out couldn't kick anymore for some reason is what brought on Chris Boswell to begin with. Now, their motivation behind putting Boswell out on the edge and asking him to make an athletic move in order to score points in the NFL, that's a different story.
Right.
But for the most part, it's precautionary right now. Mike mentioned that as well. He's on their practice squad, which is kind of the typical thing to do nowadays, make sure that they can clear COVID protocols and get on with practice to see what they'll need to do that week. But if Boswell, who is in concussion protocol right now, if he is not able to go, and then it seems Josh Lambeau, the talented veteran, he's been around for a little while. He's a solid kicker. I'm not exactly sure why he got released. You never quite know with kickers unless it's, you know, Josh Scobie. But by and large, kickers have a reason for not having a contract, but there are a good amount of kickers, and there are only 32 jobs. So many times you can get a quality kicker who adjusts well to what you guys do in terms of your special teams and can kick in the stadium in which you're playing most of the time. You put that together like they did with Boswell, you got yourself a nice investment. A guy like Lambeau, maybe that just didn't work out for him, but clearly they were right on that move. They made it about the time you think that they would, and while it doesn't rule Boswell out exactly, it's good to know that they are going to be prepared this week with a backup kicker at least, which is something I think they might wanted to think about perhaps the previous week a little bit more.
Right. Okay. Why have some things fallen into place? Is it something strategic or is it schedule? Why has it fallen into place?
I think that's an excellent question. And to be honest with you, what I see is a team that has generally checked the boxes that I thought that it would at this point. They're just maybe doing it a little bit ahead of schedule compared to what I thought. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. I expected them to be about 7-10 this year.
Right.
They're a couple weeks ahead of the pace that would put them on. Now, I'm not giving them, you know, a playoff spot, 9-8 record, 10-7 record. I'm not there yet, but the offensive line has gotten progressively better the last 4 weeks. There are still some problems there. Poor Dan Moore, which is what I'm calling him now. I mean, if he wasn't baptized by fire before, he certainly was on Sunday. And I think he's doing a great job for the situation that they're putting him in. He's not supposed to be in that situation though. I think Tomlin addressed this to some degree as well. I like how he's responding to that. And I really like what they're doing in the run game. We're starting to see them really get after their opponent. They're playing with a level of confidence that we did not see from them early on in the season. They're getting better, and it's been really fun to watch. We saw they were mangling Cleveland up front on a couple of those drives.
Yeah.
They did a great job. They outrushed the Browns. If you would have asked me last week who was going to have more rushing yards, I would have laughed. There's absolutely no way the Steelers are going to outrush the Browns. And they beat them pretty handily in that regard. Neither team had huge success on the ground, but Cleveland was way below average, and Pittsburgh was above their average. It's coming together. I think we're seeing better things from them overall. That was just a crazy game. I mean, I don't know how many times you put those situations together. I don't know how many times the Steelers, with what they had, pull out a win. But it was great to see the heart that they played with. You know, they didn't give up. They had every reason to give up. They didn't have a field goal kicker in the second half. They didn't have a kickoff guy. Everything bent Cleveland's way, and they should have been able to make that work. But they
right.
get a timely forced fumble. They make plays on, you know, critical downs. They shut them down pretty good on third downs. I wouldn't have expected that out of the Cleveland team. Cleveland gained like 110 yards in their first two drives. You thought they were just kind of cruising along. They were going to do pretty well. Pittsburgh's defense really stepped up and did a great job. The offense made the plays they needed to make. Pat Freiermuth, another player that I was critical of in the offseason, he's playing above and above board more consistently now. You can expect more from him in all phases of the game. Got a great effort from Zach Gentry. I would have guaranteed you that guy wasn't going to do squat this year. I didn't even think he should have been on the roster. I didn't even think him to make the team.
Right.
They've done an excellent job. I would point to coaching. He's kept the team believing in themselves, and he's built up their confidence to the point we're seeing much better play out of them, I think, than what's reasonable. They're not as good as in many cases as what they're playing, but they're starting to put stretches of that together, and that's going to make them better. The more they get into it, we're still going to see ups and downs. You know, it's still a very young team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a critical stretch. You know, Bears are not particularly good. The Lions are really not good. They need to go 2-0. This is, I think, the first time this season you could honestly say they better win both of these games. They will be pretty sizable favorites in both of these games, and they're going to need to finish, really what they've started right now. And if they do that, though, they've got a pretty good shot at things. You have to like where they're going to be.
And your thoughts on the rhythm that we're seeing now from Matt Canada as a play caller?
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, what we're seeing is more of that variation than just his script. You know, beyond the first 15 plays of the game, they're able to do more deeper into drives. They ran, the jet action, the jet sweep motion that they'll run. They ran that in the fourth quarter. I don't think they've really done that to a point this year. It kind of seems like they sort of throw that out and do the things that they typically do that they know the best. Their playbook has expanded. It's been an offense that they've wanted to get more guys involved. There was a point, I think it was funny to me, because usually when you scroll through the stats during a game, you see a pretty long list of the Steelers' targeted receivers. Ben likes to spread it around. He tries to get everybody some looks early on in a game. This time, there were like seven guys that had carries in the first half of the game. They're doing a lot of different things that are not necessarily foreign to them as a team anymore, but the defense hasn't quite seen a variation of it the way that they did it. That's what experience gives you, and that's what, in my opinion, the real talent of a play caller is one who's able to stack different permutations of everything later on. You have to be conscious of what you've called. You have to be conscious of what another team has seen and put in different wrinkles of it, not just during the game, but before it. You have to know that they've seen this look before, so we're going to do this time, and then come back to this later on, but do this time. I think Canada's done a great job of that up to this point, and really it's not something we've seen a whole lot of from the Steelers' offense the last couple seasons, probably. So it's been fun. He's keeping it he keeps it just with enough variety that you're not sure what to expect. And that half-second hesitation that you can cause a defense to have to take is the difference in a lot of cases, especially with, you know, when you've got, I mean, it was called back on a hold, but you've got Ray McLeod who goes around, you know, the far end, outflanks the defense and picks up 20 yards. If the pursuing linebackers are not frozen for a second on that exchange, there's no way he's getting around that corner.
Right.
That's the key thing with play calling and design that you need to do. If you can get that extra delay on the part of a defense, you're going to be able to exploit the situation. I think Canada's done a great job setting them up to do that now. And probably more than anything, he's gotten a sense of buy-in from everybody in a variety of different packages. They're not making mistakes the way that they were. They're still probably penalized more than you'd like to see. Not that the officiating was, you know, optimal Sunday, but mm-hmm. you didn't get a whole lot of those, you know, silly preparation types of mistakes that we saw in mass quantity early on in the season.
I'd ask you about the Bears, but what can you say?
Here's the thing with the Bears, and we've talked about this with the Bears. The Steelers don't beat the Bears. You know, this is no joke. The last time the Steelers beat the Bears was when Jerome Bettis trucked Brian Urlacher at the goal line.
Yep.
That's how long ago it was. They're 0-3 against the Bears since then, and they were favored in all three of those games. The last, you know, they played them a Monday night back in 2013, and he got the doors blown off. I mean, the Bears killed him. Jay Cutler went crazy that night for some reason or another. A really bad team in 2013, certainly starting off. One of the many big losses that they had early on in that season. 2017, the last time they played, it was, I don't know what that was. That was just that was a dumb game. two holding penalties in overtime.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard scores a touchdown to win it for Chicago late. Steelers were, I think, like 9-point favorites in that game.
Right.
And back in 2009 was an upset as well. Just if I recall, and maybe there's somebody out there listening that would know, but if I recall, I think Santonio Holmes dropped like 5 passes in that game. I seem to remember that. This is, you know, way back in the day. They don't play their best against the Chicago Bears. It's that simple. It shouldn't be the case every time, but, you know, it continues to happen over and over again. This is one of the few teams. I meant to look this up. I wanted to blow you away with my stat-knowing power here, but I don't know how many NFL teams Mike Tomlin has not yet beaten in his career, but I know that Chicago is one of them. There can't be many more than Chicago.
Right.
So you hope that they can bring the same type of effort that that they've put out the last few weeks and you know, put together a nice little run for themselves. We'll see, though. You know, I'm not willing to just write off any opponent for this team this point of the year. Where they are, they're going to have to get better in practice and in the film room each day leading into a game. They're not good enough to write anybody off yet.
Well, we never write you off for good reason. You're brilliant. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you very much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong joining us, as always, as we close out here on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up now. Why don't you just go over now and take care of it? This is one-stop shopping. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. And they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed is second to none. And it's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Don't forget Penn State football tomorrow at Maryland at 3:30, on beginning at 2 o'clock. High school football tonight, Shamokin at Sealands Grove at 7 on Eagle 107. Lewisburg at Jersey Shore at 7 o'clock. That is on 100.9 The Valley. And then Jack and I and Brian will be at College Park tomorrow. 2 o'clock the airtime, 3:30 the kickoff. Penn State football looking to bounce back and begin November the right way here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.